Hi, this is James Sandbrook from the Birmingham Marketing Meetup. Hope you're all well. I've got a brilliant podcast for you today by a young guy called Harry Seaton, who is the Managing Director of Fluential. And he is talking about influencer marketing as an influencer himself. He understands really probably better than most how brands should interact with influencers, how to spot good influencers, how to spot bad ones, and how those relationships should work. He's an incredibly bright guy and has spoken at quite a few of our meetups, and couldn't recommend him enough. I think you'll learn lots from this one. Also, just a quick shout out to Barry at Bravo Marketing. Yet again, he's putting together our podcasts and making sure they sound silky smooth, and you know, he does a really great job, and we really appreciate you, Barry. Make sure you're subscribed to the Wednesday at 2 Club on email. You can get that at the marketingmeetup.com website. Joe's working really hard to make sure those emails are super valuable for you, and also the Facebook group, and we're soon to be in 11 locations as well, so pretty much anywhere in the country now. You'll be able to get to one of our events, and thank you for coming. If you've come, if you haven't, come along, and enjoy the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks everyone. For coming along, because I think that James pre-warns you who's talking, which means you would have seen that I'm talking, and you still decided to come, which is really great. So thank you so much for not immediately RSVPing with a different answer as opposed to yes. I'm going to start with the most logical question, because you're probably all wondering, who on earth am I? Because whilst James did give you a bit of a background, probably still wondering why on earth I am actually here. My name's Harry Seaton. As James mentioned, I'm 22, and obviously I've grown up to a degree with influencers. I didn't exactly sit on my phone all day from the age of 7 playing Candy Crush or anything like they are now, but I have been very, very involved in this kind of world, especially given that at age 13 I created my own YouTube channel. I've been inspired by other musicians, because that's what I, this keeps going temperamentally, but it's fine, I'll just talk louder when it cuts. I've been inspired by other musicians and thought, you know what, I'm pretty terrible at music, but I'd seen some other pretty terrible people, so I thought I could join in and we could all be terrible together. I started uploading it. Perhaps I maybe got better. Either way, people started following me. Maybe I managed to con them somehow. Either way, my following grew. I didn't really know what to do with it. I had no idea that it meant anything to anyone. I didn't realize I could sell things. I didn't realize I could partner with brands. Everything basically just kind of came on at once, because the influencer world didn't really exist then. 7 years ago, I doubt any of you would have really batted much of an eyelid if someone said influencer marketing, except maybe to ask them what on earth they're talking about. But nowadays, that's very different. And as that started to change during my time as an influencer, as much as I cringe inside of myself when I call myself that, because I hate the term, which is really odd for someone who does influencer marketing every day, I started to see things change a lot, and they changed in ways that I didn't like. Now, one thing that I think sets me apart from other people is that I'm probably one of the smallest, least relevant influencers. None of you here will have heard of me ever before. Yeah, I've been able to work with Coca-Cola. They flew me to the Alps to learn how to ski. I've worked with McDonald's. I was on one of their Christmas adverts. You might have seen me in a Santa hat in my friend's 17-year-old Volkswagen Golf singing Santa Baby. And the reason why I did that is because I like to think that despite the fact that I could never become a YouTuber with a million subscribers, I learned how influencer marketing worked. I learned what brands wanted to hear to work with me, and what they actually wanted from me, what they actually wanted without even knowing that that was what they were going for. Because this was in a time where, even more than now, brands just thought it was enough to ask an influencer to post about them. That's still happening today, unfortunately, but that's what I'm on a mission to change. So that's enough of me waffling about myself anyway. What is influencer marketing? I think the only real way to properly answer this question is to actually strip it right back. And you ready for some incredible artworking design skills from myself here? Wow, look at that. I bet none of you could put a line through a word, could you, and scribble "an" at the top. What is an influencer? That took me about 10 minutes to do. That's quite embarrassing. What is an influencer? Influencers existed forever. All of you right here are influencers. Perhaps you don't have thousands of followers on social media, but you are all influencers to some people.
Your friends, your family.
Is it back? Your friends and your family. They take recommendations from you probably maybe every week, maybe even every day. Someone asks you, where should I go to eat tonight? Or where should we go? What film should I see right now? What Hoover do you use? Anything as small as that. But believe it or not, that's influencer marketing. Influencer marketing are relationships that are harnessed to sell something. And they're not always harnessed intentionally, but that is what influencer marketing is trying to do. It's harnessing things intentionally, relationships that people have built with an audience. Now, you'll have seen a lot in the news that it's the decline of the macro influencer, because macro influencers who have a million followers, 10 million followers, how could they possibly have such a brilliant relationship with their audience as you might with your friends and family? And to a degree, that's true. Sure, a lot of them, they stop having such a great relationship and suddenly their engagement rate isn't quite as high, which is something that people love to harp on about, when realistically, it doesn't matter how many likes or comments they're getting, it matters how many things they're actually selling, because that's what determines their worth, not their likes, comments and shares. But regardless, there's a lot about this now, and that's why you'll see a lot of people talking about micro-influencers. And micro-influencers, and they'll probably keep adding on the word micro until eventually brands are paying people with 100 followers just to access their audience and talk, because that's what they need. They need those relationships. Now, before I dive into more about making influencer marketing work, I just want to quickly say that anyone who says that someone with a million followers, 10 million followers isn't worth it is entirely wrong. Okay? That's because just because maybe only 20% of their audience now care about that person, there's still 200,000 people. And the chances are that influencer knows that as much as you do, which means that they're not going to charge you as if they have a million person audience. And obviously, you can use that knowledge to leverage that. There's still a massive amount of brand awareness to be gained from that. If that's part of a larger campaign, you can take that, you can feed it into whatever else you're doing, and set up that conversion journey all the same. So don't be afraid of larger influencers. However, because this is all about trying it for yourself, and I understand that influence marketing is rather new, you're probably not going to want to chuck tens of thousands of pounds at it right away after hearing me do this 20-minute talk. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how you can do it yourselves on not Coca-Cola budgets, but whatever budgets you are working with. So first of all, how on earth do you actually find them? Because you're going to need to find some influencers in order to actually work with them. And there are a few different ways that you can go about finding influencers. And the first example that I'll always say, this completely depends on your business, but it's always worth going through your followers, going through the people that engage with you already, and seeing, well, who already engages with me? What is their following like? What are they up to? And this applies for any business. Another thing that I probably should have said right at the start is influencer marketing isn't just for B2C. It's not at all just for B2C. Think about LinkedIn right now. How many people have LinkedIn and follow influential business leaders and people who are, you know, at the top of their game in their industry? If they were to recommend something that's helped them get to where they are or helps them in their day-to-day, you're probably going to like that quite a lot too. You're probably going to listen to that opinion, probably going to take it on board. You might even buy whatever they're endorsing. So don't think that this is just for B2C, because it's really, really not when it's done right. So you've combed through your audience, you've maybe found a few people who talk about you and a few people that you think might be good ambassadors to endorse what you're doing, what you're selling. And what else can you do? Well, the next kind of obvious way that you can go about finding them is think about hashtags that are used within your industry and your community. Now, this is a little bit more time consuming, but believe me, you're going to be able to weed out the right people a lot quicker than with other methods. So you can quite simply look through those hashtags, look at the top posts on Instagram, for example, puts them up right really nicely for you, the top 9 posts, and you could have a look.
I'm going to completely interrupt you.
Am I holding it wrong? There we go. Okay, no more cutting out. Brilliant. Revolutionary. That's a disruptor, that is. There's my buzzword for the day. Disruption. No, where was I again? Oh yeah, so hashtags. So you can literally see the people who are right now getting the kind of top level of engagement within certain communities just by using the hashtags that are used within your communities, clicking on them on Instagram, on Twitter, looking at top tweets or top posts, and it will Still, it's not worked. Oh well, we'll carry on. And you'll be able to see them, really plain and simply. So that's another way. Now, once you've found a couple of people, another way that you can go about finding them is by opening one person up on Instagram, someone who's a great example. I'd recommend doing this on a desktop, which I know is a bit strange, going on Instagram on a desktop. Don't fear, it does work. It does still work on desktop. And there's a little arrow next to that person. Now, if you click that next to their follow button, it will drop down with loads of people who are just like that person. And you'll find that Instagram obviously knows quite a lot about itself and its users. Those people will be very similar to the person you're on, probably in the same industry, talking to the same kind of people. So it's worth doing that. But the best bit of advice I can give is simply to just be as active as you can in the community surrounding your industry. Make sure that you're following any news to do with it, because the people who are going to be in the news are probably the people whose thoughts and opinions are shaping the way that that's changing, working currently, anything like that. So just keep your ears to the ground, really, and just make sure that you're there the moment that someone new rises up as some kind of star in your industry, and make sure that you're on top of them straight away. So once you've found them, what do you actually do with them? Well, the holy grail of influencer marketing, if you will, is integration, okay? And I'm gonna give you a live example of this in just a minute. But when I say integration, I'll tell you what I don't mean first. What I don't mean is all the brands that have ever contacted me and said, will you take a batch of our product and we'll pay you a fee to hold it like this, pose next to it on Instagram, maybe point to it because that'll suggest that I really like it, maybe like this. Maybe smile actually as well so you can tell that I really love it and not just the check that I've just put into my bank account for doing this post. There we go. Now that will really sell it. Oh, and then, you know how because Instagram is obviously, you know, not at all for visuals, it's all for words. Just write a massive caption about how much you love it. That's not what works, but it might surprise you to know that people like, sorry if anyone from there is here, because I think they're based around here, Cadbury's. Sorry, Louis, I've offended you. I know you love chocolate. You might love Cadbury's. I'm so sorry. Do you love Cadbury's? He's fine. He's not a fan of Cadbury's. Hooray! Oh, there we go. I've won all of his love and respect now. Cadbury's do that. Think of the budgets Cadbury's have got. Do you really think they need to pay someone to pose next to a chocolate bar? They could do anything. But do they integrate? Have they looked at why that influencer is so loved and respected? What are they doing? What's their content about? Why should they care about chocolate? Because if there's no reason, then why should their audience? Because their audience follow them because they care about what that person cares about. There are so many different ways you can do this. Your product does not in any way have to be fun. The content just needs to make sense. I'm going to give you an example of this, like I said, in just a moment, with a business that's really not fun at all. You'll see why in just a second, but I cannot stress enough that integration is the most important thing. Even if it's as simple as someone just coming in, say, for example, an example I can use right now is a gin company. So why would someone pose with a bottle of gin and try and sell it when there could be actually some kind of content created showing themselves enjoying it? You know, just putting a little bit more effort in. Perhaps they get some friends around and they all just have a bit of a party using the gin that you've provided with them, and you know, you chuck them a bit of money so they can make sure that they kit out the party, or perhaps you invite them to your distillery and they actually come around and look rather than just posing with a bottle of your product. Get them involved, and I promise you, they'll end up caring much more about your brand because of it, and that will show. These influencers are where they are because of the authenticity, and the moment they sacrifice that, they're not worth your time, they're not worth their audience's time. And some of them will realise that and they won't work with you because of it. And some of them will still work with you and it just won't work for either parties. So always try and integrate as best as you can. So here's one I made earlier. There's a little thumbnail of it and I realise I can't just click on it, so I'm going to have to be smooth. Oh, James, my tech guy, is just coming up to sort it out for me. This one? Yeah, we'll watch just a little bit of this. Okay.
the second challenge than you, but we'll try really hard on it, so I hope you enjoy.
Right, hello, welcome back to the second challenge. So today, we're not on a subreddit, as you might actually be able to tell. Today we're kicking about in monster trucks. Oh, yeah.
He probably does say bloody hell about another five times, so I'll stop it there. But what I want to kind of, I want to chuck a question out now, if that's okay, and anyone just shout out if they think they know the answer. Who thinks they might know what industry the brand was in that we got to commission that video? Any guesses of what that brand might offer?
Pardon?
Energy drink? Any more? Energy drink, okay, well, pardon?
Trucks,
yeah. Good guess, solid guess. There was a truck in the video, could well be trucks. It was car insurance. Like I said, your product, your brand, it really doesn't have to be interesting. Who gets excited every year when they get to renew their car insurance? I don't. In fact, I get less excited each month knowing that I haven't set any money aside for it and I've got to pay for it. However, these guys really get it. They've been a long-term client of ours, and they just really understand it. And the reason why that worked so well, because he hadn't yet even mentioned the brand, but his retention, his audience retention, is so good that we knew that we could have put the mention of the sponsor 5 minutes in, and the majority of his audience would have still seen it. And this leads me on to my next point. Further than integration, we have access to so much data from influencers because they have access to it. Yet so many brands fail to ask for it. We can see exactly where people are dropping off and make sure that everything that we want to communicate as a brand is in the video before that average drop-off point. We can see exactly the ages, the genders, the location of the audience in its entirety across any platform that we want. That information is right there. An influencer will just give it to you if you ask for it. And so many people don't ask for it, and they make assumptions about the audience. And in a way, that's, you know, there are plenty of people who, like this guy, for example, you'd probably all guess that he communicates mainly with kind of, you know, 16 to 25 year olds, probably a fairly even split of male and female, and you'd be bang on, because he does. But we can know that completely certainly with absolutely no doubt in our minds, because he can send us screenshots of absolutely everything, so we know exactly who we're communicating with. Now, the integration side of things. Who would want to watch a video where someone was going on a drive, and during that they conveniently had to ring up and renew their car insurance? That would be terrible, absolutely terrible. Sometimes the integration just needs to make that little bit of sense. For example, influencers come to me quite often and they say, I've just made this video. There's a lot of drama channels around right now, people that just slag off other people, basically. And they get loads of views doing it, and they say, I could mention Adrian Flux Insurance in that, and it'll cost you this much. Why on earth would I want you to do that? No one's there because of that. And you could argue that no one's watching that video because they want to watch insurance. But they click through to a video which shows a bit of driving, so we know there's at least a bit of interest. They're interested in that guy anyway. The audience were a great fit already. And now there's just that further kind of subtle integration of the fact that, you know, relatively automotive, so are Adrian Flux. So what do we do then? How do we actually get people to then take out a policy? Do we get them to ring up and use his name as a discount code? Absolutely not. And that's another problem with influencer marketing. A lot of people are relying on it to go like this. Give something to an influencer, influencer posts, that person who sees it then buys something. And in how many of our marketing channels do we see that happen as a user journey? I'll give you that there are some that go straight to sale. But why on earth would we pin all of our everything that we're doing on that? So I actually completely forgot to include the stats slide after this one that normally follows next. But I'll let you in on what we did. With that one, it was more of a data collection effort. We sent people through to a landing page. There was a competition where they could win an iPad, GoPro, Spotify vouchers, all sorts. We got their email. We had full consent to send them as many marketing communications as we want. There was a Facebook pixel on the landing page, so we got everyone as an audience too. We created lookalikes. We sent out lead forms. There were people who, on that landing page, there was a callback request form that you could fill out to request a callback. So we had thousands fill out that form. We collected about 15,000 email addresses off this video alone. We then fed all of the data that we collected into email marketing and the Facebook marketing efforts as well. It came back as the cheapest data to convert that they'd ever had for learner drivers. And it's because of the endorsement and the authenticity and the way that we integrated, the way that that was always at the end of it. You've got to work backwards with influencer marketing. And you should with everything, but your end goal is a sale. You want to sell something. So you've got to think exactly how are they going to get from this point to that point. Because whilst influencer marketing is brilliant for brand awareness, if you don't do something to make sure that there's a clear journey for that person to convert, it's not just going to happen magically. You know, especially in this day and age where people's attention is so limited. And people genuinely, if you sell an app and that influencer talks about it on Instagram, they can't even be bothered to press the home button and go to the App Store and search for it, even if they're interested in it. You need to give them a way to get there. Top tip for that would be Instagram stories, by the way, with the swipe up option. Largely undervalued by influencers at the moment. They will charge a lot less for that than they will YouTube and Snapchat and everything like that. But direct swipe ups take them straight to your product, so a bit of a tip. So I'm aware I'm probably running out of time, so I'm going to whiz through this. But the four pillars, as I was just talking about, who are your influencers? Find them, vet them, ask them, what would you like to do? If you were to work with my brand, you know, what do you see yourself doing? They know their audience way better than we ever will because they're the ones who built it. Where are they posting? What platforms does this need to go on? Are you doing anything on these platforms already that this would complement, that this could feed into? What will they actually be posting? Now, obviously, you might have decided this at the first stage when you first spoken to them, but what will they be posting? How many quantities of that? What are you actually getting them to do? Are they driving around in a monster truck? Are they driving from Newcastle to Portsmouth in a £250 car off the Facebook Marketplace? Another video we just commissioned for Adrian Flux as well. How will you convert the audience? That has got to be the most important one. Influencer marketing is all very well and good, but it's nothing more than an exciting way to break up your day if you don't think of how this is actually going to make someone money. Because if I sat down with the MD of the insurance company, who is obviously money, 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 because that's what insurance is, and I said, oh yeah, sorry Jerry, I've not sold you many policies, but you've reached 10,000 people, I would never work with them ever again. And that's how it should be, because this needs to make you money, and it really can if you have consideration for all the other things I've mentioned. So I just want to say thank you so much. I deliberately put those really small because obviously this event is not at all about selling. So how I want to end this is by saying, if you have any questions at all, just let me know. I'm always happy to help out. Even if this is something that you want to try by yourself and not with my help, and you just want some advice, let me know. I'm friendly, I promise. I'm hanging around until we get booted out of this venue as well, so come up and talk to me. But yeah, thank you so much for your time and your attention.